I'm talking about Joseph this morning. And what I want you to do is put your hands up, and probably do this for me, because otherwise it's going to wreck my whole sermon. Put your hands up, if not of Arimathea, Evan. Put your hands up if you ever had a dream in your life, if you ever had a desire, an ambition from God. Put your hands up if you've ever had a dream. Right? Now put your hands up if you've ever gotten severely frustrated at God or yourself that your dream isn't actually happening. I definitely have. I'm sitting there all the time. So basically, Joseph is what I want to take from. Joseph was an incredible man. An incredible man of God and did incredible things in his life. And basically what I want to do is take tools that he used in his life, because we all know the general gist probably of Joseph's story. He was a 17-year-old guy, kind of got into a lot of diffs with his brothers, and his brothers chucked him in a pit and he got sold as a slave. So if we turn our Bibles to Genesis 37, and we read verses 37, 5 to 8. It says, "Now Joseph had a dream." I'm using my phone. I'm not texting, by the way. I'm using my phone as my Bible. Now Joseph had a dream, and when he told his brothers, they hated him even more. He said to them, "Hear this dream that I have dreamed. Behold, we were binding sheaves in a field, and behold, my sheaf arose and stood upright, and behold, your sheaves gathered around and bowed down to my sheaf." His brothers said to him, "Are you indeed to reign over us, or are you indeed to rule over us?" So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Now the thing about Joseph was, Joseph had already been hated by his brothers. His brothers were already severely envious of him because his father loved him. His father, Jacob, Israel, loved him more than the rest of his brothers. And his father was quite explicit about this. He was really obvious. He gave his son, Joseph, this amazing technicolor dream coat and obviously loved on him more than the others. So his brothers hated him already before that. And then he goes and does... Now, like I said, he was a great man, but this was a bit of a mistake. Let's face it. Like, you don't have this incredible dream where you're ruling over your brothers, your sisters, and your family, and then go and tell them that I'm going to rule over you. I'm going to reign over you. This is my dream that I have. And this is what he went and did. And not only did he do it once, not only did he make that same mistake once, he did it twice. He had another dream. And this time his dream was, the moon and the stars and the sun are going to bow down to me. And he went and told his brothers this again. And his brothers were like, "What are you doing? You're doing our heads in here." And see, to be honest, if I was a brother, I'd be doing my head in too. You'd be going, "You're a cocky little gits who you are, doing my absolute napper in." So he went and told this to his family. So he went out one day and his brothers decided, "We're going to do him in." Basically, they said, "We're fed up with this guy. He's talking about his dreams all the time. He's putting us down. He says he's going to reign over us. Like, who is this guy?" So basically, they took him. They were going to kill him. And his brother Reuben turned around and said, "No. Let's not kill him. Let's just throw him in a pit. Let's just kind of rough him up for a while." And Reuben's plan was actually to save his brother from that pit. But what happened was these Ishmaelites came along past his brothers where they were with Joseph in the pit. And they came along and his brothers went, "This is a great idea. Let's sell him as a slave. Let's make some money off him." So they sold him as a slave, the Ishmaelites. And this is the part, this is the clincher for us here. This is the part where we normally get to in our lives. This is the point where, you know, we have these dreams, we have these ambitions, we have these desires in our hearts that God has placed there, or these things we want to get to in life, these places we want to get to. And the next thing, we look around ourselves and we're stuck in this pit. We're in pitch blackness. We can't see. We've lost our vision. We can't see where we're going. We can't see where we are. And we think, this is the end. This is me. This is me done. I had these visions. I had these dreams. I had these ambitions. And look at me. I'm in a pit. And this is where we normally get to in our own lives. And we freak out. We panic. We don't know what to do next. We don't know where we're going. And we think God's got it wrong. I know myself. I have actually literally sometimes sat and argued with God, going, "God, like, what are you doing here? I have dreams. I have ambitions. And you're doing, like, where are you putting me? Why am I doing this? Why have I been put here?" And this way, this whole story really speaks to my heart about having dreams, having ambitions, and not just looking at your surroundings and going, "I'm not getting anywhere. I'm not going anywhere. This is the end. God got it wrong, or I've got it wrong, or I haven't heard God properly." And the thing is, we can read the Bible sometimes, and we can see where Joseph ended up. So it seems all fair and well for Joseph. We look at him, we go, "Well, sure, it was fine for Joseph. Sure, look where he ended up. He ended up ruling over Egypt. He ended up being nearly higher than Pharaoh, so he did. He ruled over Egypt and had control over everything, dominion over everything, so that was fine for him. Yeah, he was in a pit at one point in his life, but look at where he ended up." But what I want to do is I want to take this first-person perspective view. I want to look at Joseph's life and go, where Joseph actually was he was a slave for like 13, 14 years, probably. And he that's all he knew. He had these dreams. Like, I've had probably dreams and ambitions for my life for the past 6 years, and I've got frustrated at where I've only got to. But the thing is, Joseph had these incredible tools inside him, and this incredible faith and heart. And what I want to do is speak about, yes, we have dreams and visions, but sometimes along the road, it might not look like what we think. It might not look like what we had planned or what we thought it was going to look like to get to our dreams. And I want to talk about the tools that Joseph used, that he applied in his life to be able to stay focused, to stay calm, and to do his best at where he was, and to see himself be promoted by God and be promoted by men in life to a place that was just completely unbelievable, to take him on a journey that was honestly one of the most incredible journeys in the Bible. So I want to turn to chapter 39, 1-4 in Genesis. If we turn there. Give me a minute. Right. So this is it. Joseph was sold. So it says, now Joseph had been brought down into Egypt to Potiphar. An officer of the Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, had brought him from the Ishmaelites and brought him down there. So basically what this means, I'm reading from the New King James, by the way, so if it confuses you, what it means is Joseph had been sold to this Egyptian officer. He was ruling over the guard for Pharaoh. And so he's now a slave. Do you know what I mean? So he went from being in a pit, having these dreams, being in a pit, to being a slave, which is the complete opposite way around than what his dreams were telling him. The dreams were telling him he was going to be a ruler. You know, he was going to have the sun, the stars, and the moon were going to bow down to him even. And now he's a slave. It's completely the opposite direction than where his dream was, than where he probably thought he was going and how he was going to get there. And quite often we find ourselves in the same situation. We find ourselves in a job, or we find ourselves in a situation in life, or we find ourselves at a decision we have to make. And honestly, to us, it probably looks like, this isn't part of my dream. This isn't what I planned. But here's the thing. The huge contrast in his dreams put him in a place where he had a huge way to prosper. He had a huge journey in front of him. He had a huge expanse in front of him that God had to fill, that only God could fill for him. And one of the ways Joseph did this, and God did this through Joseph, was it says here in the rest of Genesis 39, 2 and 3, it says, the Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man, and he was in the house of the Egyptian master. His master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord caused all he do to succeed in his hands, all he did to succeed in his hands. And what I want to look at here is that whole thing about prosperity, that the Lord made everything in his hands prosper. Is my first point I want to get at is that, yes, the Lord prospered Joseph. The Lord was the one that brought the prosperity to Joseph. And sometimes we look at that and go, well, the Lord prospered Joseph. He doesn't prosper me. I'm not prospering right now. But here's the thing. You can be in a job, and God wants to prosper you. And I'm not saying that we work all by ourselves or that we bring the prosperity, because that's not how it works. What God wants for us is God wants us to be placed in a certain place, and God places us in certain jobs or in certain situations or areas. But God never harms us, but he puts us in a place to see us work. And not work for man, but work for him. Work to worship him. Work to worship God and to love him, to honor him, to bring honor to him. And I firmly believe that in this situation, this wasn't Joseph working to be a good little trooper or working to be a good little Christian, Jew. He was a Jew. It wasn't him working to do that. This was him working for God and onto God. Even though he was in the crappiest, lowest situation, probably compared to his dreams, even though he was as far away from his dreams as you could remove him, he still worked his butt off at where he was. He still went, you know what? I don't care that I'm here. I'm going to still work my butt off. I'm still going to give this my best. I'm going to be the best slave there is. I'm going to be the greatest slave. And he even ended up working in his master's house. It says he was in his master's house to work. So he prospered so much, the Egyptian master thought, I'm going to bring him into my house. And like, how can you prosper as a slave? We sometimes look at our jobs and go, oh, well, how can I prosper at this? You know, I work in Campbell College. And one of my main duties is to pick up litter around the grounds. And sometimes people will look at that and go, well, how can you prosper at that? And it's the same for a slave. You know, how can you prosper? But God can prosper us in any situation. It's not us who make this glorious job work. And it's not us who make a crappy job look good. It's us who give our all, who pour our all into the job or into a certain aspect of our jobs. When we give it our all, it's God who brings the prosperity. And this is where Joseph's heart was. Joseph knew. He probably knew himself, I can't really, if I work at this with my own mind, my own heart. He probably knew that he wasn't going to prosper. He probably knew that this wasn't going to be a prosperous job. But what he did know was that God could prosper him where he was. And what he did know was that no matter what, he was going to work under the Lord. no matter what life threw at them. And that was one. This is one of the things we need in life. We need to install this heart of, I'm not working for man. I'm not working for my own bosses. I'm not working for the people who boss me around or my leaders or anything. I'm not working for their recognition. I'm not working for a promotion even. I'm working for the Lord and where I am. I may have the most hated job in the world, but I want to do that for the Lord. You know, I want to work at that for the Lord and under the Lord and give all of myself into this job, pour it into the job. And you know what? The Lord brings the prosperity no matter where you are. And one of the keys to this is Colossians 3:23. And it says, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. And that's the main, this is where we need to keep our minds all the time in our jobs. We need to keep our minds focused on the fact that we're not working for man. No matter what we're doing, we're not working for man. And it's not about the job. It's not about the exact job you're doing, whether you're lifting phones, whether you're picking up litter, no matter what you're doing. It's not about the job. It's about giving your best at what you're doing. It's about sowing all of you. And when we work like this, when we just pour ourselves into it, not for man and not for self-promotion, not because we want to be good little soldiers. When we pour all of ourselves into a job for God, it's Him who brings the promotion. It's Him who brings the prosperity. It's Him who brings the blessings. It's Him who makes people realize around us. It's God who goes to people, says into people's minds, look at what Joseph's doing. And his master looked and saw, and he goes, I can see. It says the Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man. His master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord caused all he do to prosper. And that's why Joseph found favor. That's one of the steps Joseph made in his journey to find favor, was that he knew who he was working for. He wasn't working for his boss. No, he wasn't working for his master. He was working for God. And that's the key. That's one of the key things to Joseph's life and how he prospered, not through himself, but through God. And one of the second points is in Genesis 39:3 again. It says his master saw that the Lord was with him. Now, Potiphar saw the prosperity in Joseph's life, and he also saw that the Lord was with him. It was two separate things. It says here that the Lord saw that Joseph prospered and that he saw that the Lord was with him. Now, yes, Potiphar probably saw that the Lord was with him through his prosperity, but with it being two separate experiences for Potiphar, I kind of think we can give our all best. You know, we can work at something our hardest. We can pour everything we are into a job, but we can still have a bad attitude about it. Do you know what I mean? I can work my best at picking litter. I pick every bit of litter up on the ground, but I can be trudging around, effing, blind, and whatever, complaining, whatever. And you could be moaning about it. And you're giving your best, yes, but you've got a bad attitude. And this is the part where people see God in people. People can see God. And the Bible doesn't say this, but with him seeing God with Joseph, Potiphar probably saw that Joseph had a good attitude about where he was. He worked his butt off, and he succeeded, and he prospered. But he also probably saw that Joseph had a good attitude about where he was. You know, he was happy. He was joyful. He was confident. He gave mercy to the workers around him, probably. And Potiphar probably looked at that and went, that's a supernatural attitude. You know, that is a supernatural attitude in this situation. He's a slave. And Joseph shone through with all the rest of the slaves, and he probably showed Potiphar, I'm joyful in this. I'll work my butt off. And I'll be joyful about where I am. I'll be happy that the Lord's put me here. I'll be happy that I'm given this chance to work. And this is sometimes the point where, you know, we can work our hardest all the time. We can sow every bit of ourselves into a job. We can sow every bit of ourselves into what we do. But see, if we don't have joy about it, it's that supernatural attitude that people around us see, and they go, that's the Lord. They look at somebody, they go, in this situation, like if you're lifting phones all day, or whatever you do in your job, that's when people look at you and go, that's supernatural. They never complain. They never really get weary about their job. They stand fast, and they're confident, and they're joyful. It's that joy that people will look at you and go, there's something different about them. There's something about them that strikes my heart, that makes me see, and makes them shine through in this working environment. Yes, everything they do is successful as well, But they've got a great attitude about it as well. That's amazing. Tons of people can work their hardest. Now, not everybody is prospered by the Lord. Everybody who believes in God and works unto him will be prospered, I believe. But not everybody you work with will always prosper in what they do. But if you're prospering and you're working unto the Lord and you have this supernatural attitude, people are going to notice it. People are going to notice if you're joyful in your workplace, because sometimes the people I work with, I'm just like, this is sucking the life out of me sometimes. Please don't play. I hope none of them ever hear this. But sometimes it's just like, this is really grinding me down sometimes, because it's like, and you have to make that choice. Sometimes I have to go, Adam, you need to get your head right here. You need to get your heart right towards people, and you need to be joyful and show people and just carry on and just say, oh, it's not that bad, or, you know, it'll be all right. We'll get through it. We'll get the job done. We'll just work away at it. We'll just keep going. And it's that attitude. Sometimes I don't have that attitude. Sometimes we have to make the choice to just make that attitude. And people do notice it. The guy I work with all the time is sometimes like, would you just stop being happy about this job? It's like, this is terrible. Like, why do we have to do this? It's like, just keep going, don't worry. We'll get it done. We'll get it finished and we'll get away. And it's that attitude that people notice. And it's that attitude that brings God glory in the workplace when we're working our hardest, when we're working under the Lord, when we have that attitude. But it's knowing how to activate that is the problem. Because we all probably know that. We all probably know that as Christians, as people that love the Lord, we all probably know that we should probably sometimes show a little bit more joy and a little bit more compassion, a little bit more mercy for the people around us. Because I know myself, I crack up sometimes and work big time with people. I honestly sometimes, like, some of them guys probably think I'm not even Christian. Because I get annoyed, I get really annoyed sometimes. Just like, guys, you just do the job right. Like, let's just get the job done. And I crack up and I get annoyed at people. But it's that choice, and we need to know how to make them choices and how to take them steps into this attitude and how to put ourselves in that place where we can shine through, we can show joy. And it's doing that that will lead us into this place of prosperity, that will lead us down this road like Joseph took, that Joseph just completely blew everything else out of the water as a slave. He just got promoted beyond promotion. He ended up ruling over Potiphar's house. Potiphar didn't even know what he had in his own house. And how we get this attitude, how we install this attitude of God through me and into the world is in reality knowing the promises over our lives and knowing who we've called to be. It's in knowing who we are, and not who we are as in what we do or our actual fleshly bodies, but knowing who we are through Christ and who he called us to be and why he died for us. That he died that we could be in relationship with him, that we could walk with him, that we could work lives with him through us, through that joy. He died to give us joy, that we would no longer need to be condemned. He died that we wouldn't have to worry about making a mistake. He died so we could step up from making mistakes and keep going in our job, that we could just keep pushing forward. That's why he died, to give us a chance, to continually give us chances to push forward in life, to keep being promoted, to keep pushing forward. And it's an understanding his promises over our lives. You know, it's promises like 2 Corinthians 2:14. And this promise blesses me incredibly when we really think about it. It says, but thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. I think that's an incredible promise. That honestly blesses the socks right off me, that he always leads us in triumphal procession. Yeah, I'm not even wearing socks. You see that? Isn't that brilliant? I did that on purpose too, by the way. But I think that's incredible. He always leads us in triumphal procession. It's not sometimes. It's not every so often. And see, it's when we know that. It's when we take that promise and we meditate on that. When we make that our goal in life, to go, you know what? God is always, because of Jesus, going to lead me in triumphal procession. And see, when you work with that in mind, see, when you work with that heart, joy can't but flow through you. If you really, truly believe that. Like, if you truly believe that somebody's going to lead you in prosperity, if you truly, really believe that somebody's going to make you triumph in life, and that's a huge thing. That doesn't just mean success. Like, he leads us in a triumphal procession. That's like a march. Do you know what I mean? A procession is like a march, like a band pushing forward, like a celebration down a street. In a triumphal procession, God leads us. He's always going to take us there. And no matter where we are, even with me walking around picking litter up all day, if I keep my mind steady on the fact, you know what, I'm doing this and God is going to lead me in triumphal procession, no matter what, how can you not be joyful? You could have the worst job in the world, but if you know that you're doing this because God's going to lead you in triumphal procession, how can you not be joyful? How can you not be happy about that if you truly install that in your heart and you walk that out constantly, day by day, hour by hour, if you constantly live that out? And it's taking promises like these and actually believing them and knowing them are for you. Because there's thousands of promises. I tried to find out. I was looking online to try and find out how many promises there actually are in the Bible. And I couldn't. There's so many different. Some of them say, like, I think there's one that said, like, 3,400 and something promises in the Bible. And a couple of other ones had other numbers. But the figures are so messy that I didn't want to take them. But there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, at least, promises in the Bible over every one of our lives. When you're a believer, when you receive Christ into you, you receive him and every promise he ever made about your life right inside of you, right into your heart. You receive them all. All we need to do is know that they're there. You know, it's like we can have a bank card with £1 million on it. But if we can't see what's on that bank card, we can't use it because we don't know what's there. We need to take it. We need to take it to the bank. We need to find out what we have. We need to start using it. Because you can have £1 million in the bank and never actually use it. You can live as the poorest person in the world. And this is what our promises are that God made for us. He took them and he installed them in our hearts, and then he wrote them in the Bible so that we could read them. And reading them, believing them, and knowing them can activate them in our hearts. And when them promises are activated, we can live them out and we can let them flow out. And loads of them promises include joy, include love, include mercy, include being led always to greater things. And all we need to do is actually activate that. Is meditate on them, take them. Take a verse. I've started doing this lately. I've started reading a psalm every night. And every night of the week, I'll read the same psalm. I'll read that one psalm. I'll always try and find a promise. A psalm that's a promise or a statement about your life or a statement about who we're meant to be or what we've had, what we have in God. And I just take that for a whole week and I just let that sit. I just let that sit in my mind, sit in my heart and really learn it. Really know. Like one of them was, the Lord is my strength. And I literally just took that. Like it was Psalm 28, and it was the Lord is my strength. And I just took that. It wasn't the whole verse. It was just the Lord is my strength. The Lord is my strength. The Lord. And sometimes you can think, oh, why do that? But you know what? See, when that's in you, and you actually, and literally, and it's so easy just to listen to what I'm saying here and just let it wash over you. But literally, let that sit in your heart. Let that be your heart. It's like you keep on pouring in. And sometimes you're like, oh, I'm fed up with this. I'm done with this. I don't want to keep doing this. Keep doing it and keep pushing. And next thing you'll see, when you encounter a thing that attacks you or you encounter a thing that makes you feel weak, you have that promise. You go, the Lord is my strength, or the Lord is my shield, or I have faith. I have the faith of God in me, like Andrew was talking about last week in Abraham. You know, we have the faith of God, not faith in, the faith of. If we take them promises, and we will shine through, we will, if we take them and we stand on them promises. We let them take root in our heart. And you know what? It might be one promise a week. It might be one promise a month you want to take and just consume a whole verse and just really know that promise over your life. But when we do that, we will see prosperity in our lives because we remember who we are. And it's not that you're doing anything different or being any different. It's just that you're knowing who you are. It's just knowing who you've called to be and why. Like Christ died for us for this. I mean, Christ died so we could have these promises, so we can inherit his eternal goodness. It wasn't just so we could do church and be good little Christians. It's not what it's about. He died for a reason. I'm sure there would have been an easier way to do it than die if it had just been about doing church. But he didn't. He wanted us to inherit all the goodness of him. He took on our image so we could take on his. Yes, we don't deserve it, but he didn't deserve death. And that's how the exchange works. That's how that happened. We inherited all that goodness. Not because of who we are, but because of who he is. And we need to take that card, and when you go down to the bank, we need to find out how much is on it. And then we know what we can use. We know what we're free to spend. And so when we take these two tools, it's these two tools that Joseph used that helped him keep his mind steady when he was a slave, when he was at the lowest point in his life. It's these tools that he just went, I'm going to work onto the Lord, no matter what, no matter where I am. And I'm also going to make sure I remember who God is in me. I'm going to shine that through. I'm going to show joy in my workplace. I'm going to show energy, and I'm going to show confidence in who I am. And that's why Potiphar looked at him. And Potiphar said, the Bible says, so Joseph found favor in his sight. So Joseph found favor through Potiphar seeing the Lord with him and seeing the Lord prosper him. And I have no doubt that we take these tools and we apply them properly into our lives and we really settle them in our hearts. And we know this. And this is the thing. It's not about seeing it. We can't live by sight. We can't live by what we see in front of us. If Joseph lived by what was in front of him, he would never have prospered. He would never got anywhere because he would have just seen a dark pit and that would have been it. He would have just seen darkness. We can't live by our vision. We have to live by what we know. And that's what faith is. We're called to live by what the Bible tells us. And it's not going, I feel this way today, so I don't feel strong, so the Lord is my strength doesn't work. It's taking that and going, this is the truth. How I'm feeling is a deception. And that's how we lead ourselves into this path of going, you can't not be, you couldn't, I don't know how you could not be joyful when knowing them. Knowing, if you know some of the promises of the Bible about your life, I don't know how you can't be. Sometimes you might not be, and that's okay. Sometimes you maybe will feel. Sometimes you'll be, oh, I'm a bit of a bad mood today, I need help. But it's taking these tools and applying them and walking that out that you will see the prosperity that Joseph walked in. Like Joseph walked in unbelievable prosperity through the plans that he saw, the dreams he had came to pass. And even after he was a slave, when he was a slave for Potiphar, Potiphar promoted him and he ended up being ruler over Potiphar's house. And then he got chucked into prison again. So not only did his dreams seem to fail twice, he seemed to fail what he saw as failure, and then he seemed to be promoted and think he had it. He think, I haven't nailed. I've achieved what my dreams are. And he thought, I was ruler over Potiphar's house. I'm doing really well here. I'm succeeding. He doesn't know anything he has. He trusts me with everything in his household. And then next thing, he's a prisoner again. And it was years and years and years and years of being a prisoner until he interpreted Pharaoh's dreams. And then Pharaoh made him head over everything he had. So it's looking at our dreams and going, right, I've dipped twice, or I've went on this roller coaster ride of my dreams being up, my dreams being down, my dreams being up, my dreams being down. And it's not knowing where you are, it's knowing your dream and going, that is for me, no matter where I am, that is for me. And when we're in our jobs, we're in our daily life, you know, we may not like our job, so to speak, we may not like what we have to do in life, but the Lord's plans to prosper us. That's what Jeremiah 29:11 says. It says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. And that's another promise we can solidify in our hearts. Go, the Lord, yet again, has plans to prosper me, not to harm me. So even though I might be looking and going, you know what, maybe I don't like my job. Maybe I didn't like my job. I'd be going, looking, this isn't good. This isn't what the Lord has for me. This isn't what the Lord has planned in my life because I don't like it. That's not how it works sometimes. He's not going to harm you. God isn't going to put you in a place where you're going to be hurt or you're going to be downtrodden or you're going to be put down. What he does is he puts you in a place for you to springboard forward and prosper in life. And you may think you don't like it, but here's the thing. See, if you work under the Lord and you install his promises and know who you are and carry his presence and people see the Lord with you, I guarantee you, you'll enjoy your job no matter what you're doing. Guarantee you, you will enjoy your job. You will enjoy what you have to do because it makes it so much more exciting. It gives you this fire of going, you know what? I'm not working for myself. I'm not working for where I want to get or what I want to be or who I want to be. I'm not working for who my boss wants me to be or a manager or whoever, somebody who in life everyone's going to feel. I'm not working for somebody who can feel me so I feel like I might feel them, or I'm not working for their recognition. So therefore, that is so much more exciting that we go, I'm working for God. That's why I do this. That's why I am who I am. That's why I'm doing life. It's not for anyone else. It's not for me. And that's why Joseph prospered hugely in life. So it wasn't about what he liked. It was about who he was and where he was going and who God was. And that's what we need to make it about. Not about where we are or who we think we are. It's about who we actually are, as in God's promises, who we are, who God promised us to be, who God made us to be, who God died us to be. That is what it's about. And that's what we need to make it about. And that's what we need to remember. We need to let God enjoy us, and we need to enjoy him, no matter where we are. Because God does enjoy us. God loves to see us just being confident in him, having faith in him, putting our trust in him, knowing, like Jeremiah 29:11 says, for he knows the plans he has for us. Plans to prosper and not to harm, to give you a hope and to give you a future. And that's truth over your life. You may not think it, but that is truth. God is going to prosper you. Just work for him. Work on to him. And show his presence. Show who he is. Show who he is in and through you.